You perhaps have heard someone mention, oh, the Mass, the Catholic Mass, it's so boring, long and drawn out, there's all these prayers and sit, stand, kneel and all this stuff. Today, I'd like to help you to truly discover the Mass, okay? What its meaning is and how to pray it well, to fully and actively and fruitfully participate. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that this is the font from which all these blessings flow on out. So our second reading today helps us with this. It was from Hebrews, and it talks about how Christ is the high priest. And so we're going to reflect on this a little bit about this priestly role. So during the Mass, you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into priesthood, you have this priestly role of offering up the Mass. This is what it's all about, joining with Christ and offering him up to the Father. That's what the Mass is all about. So I want to explain a little bit about that. So what it means and how to pray it well. So this is going to be a two-part homily. I can't fit it all in one. So next week also we have another Hebrews reading that's talking about the priesthood of Christ. So today I'm going to be talking about the first part of the Mass, what we call the Liturgy of the Word. So the first part of the Mass is all about hearing all the story of our salvation, what Christ did for us. That's the first part of the Mass. Hearing about the covenant, maybe the places where we fell short, so we can kind of get back up to speed. All that's the first part of the Mass. Then the second part of the Mass, which we'll cover next week, is the Liturgy of the Eucharist. This is true and holy worship. Because think about it, what can you offer to God that he doesn't already have? You know, you can't money or time or I mean he owns everything. It's all him in the world, all the time in the world. But the one thing we can give him is Christ. We can give him Christ. So in the Mass, we join with Christ, we unite with him, communion, and offer Christ up to the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's what the Mass is all about. But today, this first part of the Mass. Let's jump in. So it's about, the first part, as I mentioned, is about hearing. Okay? Hearing our story, salvation history. It's kind of based on the Jewish synagogue liturgy, which they do all these readings and things from the Torah. Okay, they're reflecting on their covenant role. It's all about hearing. So it starts with what we call the entrance rites. The entrance rites help us to get ourselves in the right posture so that we can pray the Mass well. It starts, traditionally, the procession starts at the back of the church. There's usually holy water or a baptismal font. It's a beautiful reminder that as we process into the presence of God, we were only able to do that through baptism. Baptism is the start of our journey to Him. And the procession is a symbol of our journey, the journey through life. We're trying to get to heaven. That's the ultimate goal. So the procession ends up here at the altar, in this altar area, which symbolizes heaven. And then the priest, he goes up and he kisses the altar. So the altar symbolizes for us, of course, Christ. And so it's a greeting of sorts. When the altar party is processing in, you could be praying, say, Lord, help me to come to you in this liturgy, to truly pray to you. And then there is the incensing of the altar, and while that's being done, there is this ancient chant called the introit. This is from the word enter. So we're preparing to enter into the presence of the Lord together. And there's incense, of course. Incense reminds us of a few different things. It reminds us of the presence of the Lord. We read in the Bible about how when Solomon blessed the temple, it was filled with the presence of the Lord, so much so that the priests couldn't even enter it. So incense reminds us, this beautiful smell reminds us of the Lord's presence among us. Also is a symbol of our prayers, which Scripture in the book of Revelation talks about, rise up like incense up into the heavens. And so the altar gets incensed, the priest often gets incensed. This is kind of like incense, also a symbol of purification. So we're getting ready. Just getting ready to enter fully into the presence of the Lord. Now, in our tradition, the Mass is celebrated what's called ad orientem. Okay, or you think of the word orient, it means east. Okay, so to the east, this is what it means. And so the priest, a lot of the prayers and things are said facing the altar. This is based on this very ancient tradition that is said to have been passed down from the apostles. The scripture talks about Christ returning from the east. The rising sun reminds us of the resurrection. It reminds us of the light of Christ. All these things. The earliest archaeological church that we've discovered had an altar on the east wall. Christians are traditionally buried facing east. So at the resurrection, you rise facing Christ, who comes from the east. Some churches are built in such a way that it's difficult to worship facing east, depending on the orientation of the building. And so in that situation, we use what's called liturgical east. The altar, which symbolizes Christ, becomes east for us. And so we all face the altar together. And in some traditions, the priest prays facing the people to try to bring an intimacy there, to allow them to see what's going on more at the altar. In our tradition, we all face toward Christ together. It emphasizes something else. It emphasizes the priest not standing on the opposite side of the altar, but standing on the same side of the altar as the people. Because it's not just the priest, but all of us are joining with the priest who stands in persona Christi in offering up the sacrifice of the Mass to the Lord. So it emphasizes your priestly role as those baptized into Christ. So those are the entrance, the entrance rites, kind of getting us ready to be able to pray this liturgy well. So we've entered into this space, into this place of holiness with the Lord. Next comes the preparatory rites. We're preparing ourselves, we're getting ready to celebrate well. So we begin, remember, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I could tell you all about the sign of the cross and its meaning and tradition, but we'll save that for another time. And then in this tradition, we have something called the prayer for purity, or the collect for purity, which the priest begins. In the divine worship liturgy, it's an ancient liturgy, it goes back to the Sarum Rite, which was celebrated in England, Ireland, Scotland, and a few other countries around there prior to the Council of Trent. There are what we call secret prayers in the liturgy, prayers that only the priest prays. But when this Mass was first translated into English, the idea was that we should allow the people to begin praying some of these prayers as well. So some of them are prayed out loud in this particular liturgy. The example of that is the Collect for Purity, this kind of first prayer. And when the priest says, Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. It's a prayer, it's basically a, Lord, help me to pay attention prayer. That's what it's all about. Because when you're entering into the Mass, when you're getting ready to pray, the devil loves to attack at that time and fill your head with all sorts of other things that you got to be doing and distractions and all sorts of stuff. And so we need to fight back on that. And so the first prayer that we pray in this particular liturgy is, Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be opened, all desires known. Lord, you know my heart, you know my desires, you know all the things that are taking place here in my mind. That's what we're saying. And then we're asking for his help with those. Say, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me with my thoughts. Draw me back to you. Help me to pray this Mass well, that I may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify the holy name, thy holy name. It's a beautiful prayer. And so when the priest is praying that, when you're hearing him pray that, I would encourage you to pray it with him. It's a beautiful prayer even to memorize. When you're not celebrating this form of the Mass, maybe you're at St. Joe's or somewhere else, at the beginning of the Mass, you can pray it. It can be your secret prayer. If you memorize that prayer, the Collect for Purity, it's a beautiful prayer for entering into the Mass, helping to focus the mind. So then next comes what's called the summary of the law, talking about loving God and loving your neighbor. Okay, it's kind of almost like a little examination of conscience in a way. When are some times that we perhaps have failed? And then immediately following that is the Kyrie, Kyrie eleison. It's Greek for Lord, have mercy, or Lord, have mercy upon us. Or you could also call it the Bartimaeus prayer, because that's who we got it from. In our gospel reading today, remember Bartimaeus? He's this blind beggar. That was his prayer. Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And in spite of everybody else telling him to be quiet and don't bother, no, he was persistent, and he asked the Lord, and the Lord healed him. So in the Mass, when you pray, Lord, have mercy upon us, or Kyrie eleison, when you're saying those words, truly pray them with all of your heart, because he will heal you through the Mass in the same way that he healed Bartimaeus. He'll come amongst us in a special way, and it helps if you can fully engage, fully participate in that prayer. Let's see, summary of the law, the Kyrie, and the Gloria. So this is probably one of our oldest hymns that we have in the Catholic Church. It's called the angelic hymn because we got it from the angels. Remember on Christmas night, the angels came to the shepherds and they sang, you know, glory to God in the highest. So we're joining. It's a beautiful reminder that in the Mass, we're joining with the angels in this experience, in these prayers. A very, very, very ancient hymn. So join with the angels, pray the Gloria, sing the Gloria. Then comes what's called the collect. This is the main collect. It kind of sets the theme in a way for the Mass. And there's a pause. It's probably the first. Yeah, it's the first sacred silence. So the priest turns to all of you and he'll say, the Lord, let us pray. As soon as he says that, there's a silence. So during that silence, I would encourage you to use it well. Okay? The priest, when he's offering up the Mass, he has a particular intention. It could be for the repose of the soul of someone who's passed. It could be for someone's living intentions. My intention for this Mass, the Church requires the priest offer up at least one Mass for all the intentions of the people, meaning the people of St. James. Now, the problem is, if you come to Mass and you don't have an intention, then at that point my intention becomes useless, okay? Because I'm offering up your intentions, all of your intentions. So it's pretty important. So during this time of silence, the priest says, "Let us pray." That's the time to offer up your intention to the Lord. Whatever you're offering up, you should have one primary. You can offer lots of things up during the Mass, but have one primary intention that you're offering up to the Lord at that Mass. Maybe it's for employment, or maybe it's for the Church. Maybe it's for the Holy Father, or maybe it's for some priest, or maybe it's for a brother, sister. Whatever your intention is, offer that up at that point, okay, during that silence. And so then the collect, it's called the collect because the priest collects together all of the intentions that are of all of us gathered here, and offers them up in the collect, in this main kind of thematic prayer. It's the collect. So those are the preparatory rites. All those things get us ready for the Mass. Okay, so we have the entrance rites. We got here, entered in the presence of the Lord. And the preparatory rites helps us to get ourselves in the right place to be able to celebrate well, celebrate the Mass well. That brings us to the recalling the covenant part of the Mass. This is the readings that get read during this time. And the readings, they are read without, the priest doesn't give his homily or anything first. You get to hear the readings first. These are directly from Christ. This is Jesus speaking to you. And he wants to say something to you through those readings before, you know, the priest can get up there and, you know, say something else. Maybe the Lord's saying something to you completely different. And so the readings come first because they're primary. Following each of the readings, there's a pause. Following the first reading, following the second reading, there's a pause. Another time of sacred silence. And this is a time for you to kind of reflect a little bit on the reading, whatever the Lord is maybe calling you to. So use those times of silence well to actively participate in that. Our Mass is soaked in Scripture. It's not just the readings that you get Scripture. You get Scripture during the singing of the introit at the beginning. You get it during what's called the gradual, which is sung between the first and second reading. It's usually a psalm or a part of a psalm. You get it at the, of course, during the readings and some of the songs you get it. You get it, there's a offertory anthem that's sung. There's a communion anthem that's sung. It's just like soaked in Scripture. Full of Scripture. Lots and lots of ways to reflect and to think about it. During the gospel reading, we have this unique tradition of processing the gospel out into the people. This beautiful symbol of that this is what the gospel is supposed to do. It's supposed to go out to the people. This is evangelization. And in case your mind has wandered off at that point, the church has given us this beautiful little practice to kind of call you back of making these little crosses, right? So may the Lord, perhaps for the gospel, we say, may the Lord be on my mind, on my lips, and on my heart. May the gospel be on my mind, my lips, and my heart. It is another opportunity to call your mind back. In case you might have got distracted, in the slight chance you got distracted, to call your mind back. Okay? So to truly hear the gospel. Lord, what are you saying to me through the gospel? Because even if the priest doesn't preach, and he's not required to at daily masses, I know some parishes where the priest doesn't preach, he simply sits in silence. Even if the priest doesn't say anything, the Lord has still fed you through the Scriptures, through his word, through recalling the story, the covenant. If you're listening well, you will be able to hear some things from the Lord that he's speaking specifically to you through those readings. So when the priest gets up, he explains some things, perhaps about the readings or about the liturgy. And then he sits down during another time of sacred silence. This is a time you've heard the Scriptures read. You've heard the priest maybe explaining some of those Scriptures or explaining some of the liturgy. Then we sit in silence. So the Lord, what is the Lord calling you to do in response to this? That's what the time of silence is to be used for, to be thinking about that. Then we have the creed. So the creed that we use, it's a little bit different than what you might hear in some of the other parishes. Within the ordinariate liturgy, it's the first English translation of the creed. It goes back to 1662. So it's beautiful, it's poetic. We genuflect during it, during the part of the creed that mentions the incarnation, when the Lord came down to this earth through the Virgin Mary. So we genuflect, if you're able to, in honor of that. Let's see here. Oh, then the penitential rites. So within the ordinariate liturgy, the penitential rite is at a different place. If you go over to like St. Joe's or San Juan del Rio or John Paul II, the penitential rite is normally at the beginning of the Mass, helping you to get ready. We do have a little penitential rite, and if you call it the Kyria, the Lord have mercy. But our primary penitential rite is after the readings, homily, creed, and the prayers, then comes the penitential rite. It's there. It's in a few other liturgies in that place in the Catholic Church, too. I know like the some of the Eastern rites have it there. But we have it there because it's designed as a response. So you've heard the readings. You've been called to repentance. And so this is opportunity to respond, to get right with the Lord at that point. So that is why it's there. And then we have this other tradition called the comfortable words. The priest might say a few words of Scripture to comfort you. You've confessed your sins. Oh, I should mention too, when the priest calls for the confession of sins, there's another silence right there, right before we confess it. So that silence is to be used so you can recall one of your sins or two of your sins and offer that up to the Lord. So you can make, when you say that penitential rite, you can make it meaningful. There's an actual sin that you're confessing at that point. So use that silence. Use it well. And then following the penitential rite, the comfortable words, there is like a little break of sorts. I get up, I give announcements at that point. This goes way, way back. In some of the early liturgies we read about where the Pope would celebrate the liturgy of the word at one church, and then there would be a break, and they'd go to another church and celebrate the liturgy of the Eucharist. Or for really long liturgies, there was often a break between the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. So we kind of bring this through in this particular liturgy, the ordinariate liturgy, or divine worship, name the Holy Father gave us for this liturgy. So we use that as a break for like announcements and that sort of thing. So this is part one of understanding the liturgy and praying it well. The preparatory rites, or the entrance rites, the preparatory rites, and then the recalling the covenant, all the things the Lord has done for us. All this hearing from the Lord, then gets you ready to celebrate well the second part of the liturgy, the Eucharist, offering up, uniting ourselves to Christ and offering ourselves up to the Lord. So by understanding this, by understanding our liturgy, you can, you know, fully pray it with all of your heart, kind of bringing yourself back from distractions and hearing from the Lord through this and responding actively, fruitfully throughout the Mass. If you do this, then I guarantee you won't be bored. It'll be fruitful. You'll hear from the Lord. You'll be formed. You'll be molded. That God may be glorified. Amen.